Welcome to Music Free Tech. This is episode 45, recorded all the tech of those other podcasts, but none of the music. That's right. No music, no stream, something techy. Toys and clouds and kids and all that fun stuff. And I'm going to talk about Mozilla Thunderbird. So lots of fun there. By going to musicfreestatic.com, you can get audio only versions on iTunes and all the other places, or subscribe to Music Free Static YouTube channel. Okay, that out of the way, let's talk about kids and clouds. So, let's see. We've got lots of fun stuff here that's happening. The toy company VTech makes lots of cool techie type toys and things, and one of the things that they've made is this this app, this Learning Lodge app, which gives lots of cool features, and I mean it allows parents to chat with their kids, it allows kids to take pictures, and it saves them up in the cloud so parents can download them and do different things. Unfortunately, it also allows hackers to get in and get all of your kids' information. Turns out that's a problem. Okay, now they've owned up to it, which is good. Which they kind of had to, considering they had 6.4 million accounts compromised. Okay, and from their press release, which is in the there's a link in the show notes. Says our customer database contains general user profile information, including name, email address, encrypted password, secret question and answer for password retrieval, IP address, mailing address, and download history. Okay. That's a lot of information that's that got out. And then you add to it the fact that you get all of that chat log information, kids' photos, voice recordings, because parents can leave voice recordings and stuff. Yeah, all of that is available, and it's not good. Okay, not good for kids at all. So yeah, it's not good for the parents either, actually. And in fact, you get a really creative hacker, someone who's thinking long term. You get these kids' information, you save it, and then when they would be turning 18, then you could use that information to set up fake profiles for credit cards and things like that. Bad news. The good news is the hacker who got into this is more of a white hat than a black hat, chose not to release the information, and worked with the company to close up the holes, which is good. So the catch is, I mean, I guess the catch is there's lots of fun aspects to this story, things that are sort of interesting. I mean, one, VTech is a toy company. They're not an IT. They're not a tech company. Right, they're not like Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram or any of those companies. Right, VTech makes toys. But they just turn their system into basically the same class of system as Instagram, as far as what type of what's going up there. You've got photos going up, so chat logs, all these things, and they're available from the internet. Well, you know, when you make that available, there's a chance somebody's going to attack it, and there's a good chance they're going to get in. As we see more and more toys that want to use online services, we really start to see a really dangerous attack area for people, and particularly kids. Kids don't know any better, right? It's one thing to tell Jennifer Lawrence to be careful about the pictures you take and what gets uploaded to the cloud, right? She's an adult. Now, she's a very famous adult, but she's still an adult and can make those decisions. Kids don't always understand, right? And I'm not saying kids are out there going to be taking naked pictures of themselves. You know, I'm talking sub 12-year-olds, sub 10-year-olds, in fact, for a lot of these products, right? And we're talking young children. But who knows what they're taking pictures of that maybe you don't want out there? Heck, maybe they're just taking just pictures of themselves, which is, you know, hey, look, Mom, I took a picture of Sally. Yay, way to go, Johnny. But parents might want to have a little control about over where the pictures of their kids end up, right? So companies like VTech, toy companies, are suddenly now thrown head first into the cloud security game. And they have no experience with this stuff. And as we get more and more of these types of services and types of toys that get created, there's greater and greater risk of kids' information getting leaked to the hacker community. Because, okay, you've got to create an account for yourself as a parent, create stuff, information for the kids. Now there's a question of how much information for the children do you need to have up there? Probably very little. But you know, this is a lot of information, even just on the parents. Maybe the hacker doesn't care about the kids. Maybe they want to get the parents' information. That's more instantly usable anyway, right? So that type of thing is important, you know? So how do we deal with it? And that's really the question. It's hard to say. So, what do we do? Well, we as consumers, you know, short of paying attention to the security history of toy companies, what we need to do is treat these types of things just like we treat any other cloud service. We need to know where that data is going. You know, not say don't use it, just know what's being, where it's going and what's being put up there. Okay? And that's my advice for any cloud service is don't stress about whether or not you're going to stop using a service or stop using cloud services entirely. I think that's a little extreme. But you need to know what's going up there. And what you need to do too is when you're getting these types of things for your kids, help them know what's up there. So, maybe they can teach them early, I guess, right? So, yeah, just something to be aware of because this is it's potentially just too important for your future, for their future history to be careless with this data. Okay. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Thunderbird. So the Mozilla project is the parent company behind the Firefox web browser. Okay, it was quick, quick history lesson. You had Netscape, right, back in the day, and they had Firefox. Okay, and Firefox was a, or actually, they didn't have Firefox. They had Netscape, and they decided because they were going out of business, because partly because Microsoft used their monopoly position to undermine them with Internet Explorer. But Netscape spun off the web browser, the Netscape web browser, and it was originally named Mozilla, in part because that was the internal code name that Netscape used for their browser. That it shows up in their user agents, and it was so prevalent that the word Mozilla got copied by like Microsoft and Internet Explorer as part of their user agent string. They weren't the Mozilla browser, but that's what they wanted to claim, and so did many others. Okay. Well, the browser, it was open sourced, and it shipped betas under the Mozilla name for a while. Went through a couple of other names, and then eventually settled on Firefox. Okay. And as that was coming through, a foundation was put together, and a for-profit company, as well as a nonprofit piece, I guess, was f to deal with funding the Firefox project. Actually, it was the Mozilla project, but specifically the Firefox web browser. But Firefox wasn't the only project that got wrapped in, because Netscape was this, actually had a couple of different components. One, it had just a browser piece, which was mostly what Firefox grew out of. But they also had the Netscape Communicator, which was a whole suite of communication tools. It was the web browser. It was an email client. I think there was a web page editor, which was pretty decent, actually. And then, I don't know, may have had a couple of other things. But the email piece was a full-on personal information system. It had email, of course, had contacts, also did calendaring and all that type of stuff. And it was a really nice package. Well, when Firefox was being pushed open source, the Mozilla project decided to dump the all-in-one package. Though it kind of has limped along for a while, they pretty well dumped that. But they kept developing Thunderbird, is what they eventually called the email package. So you had Firefox doing its thing, being web browser-ish, and it got really popular for a variety of reasons. And then you had Thunderbird, and Thunderbird is a very excellent mail program. Okay, I know that it's what our officially supported mail program where I work is Thunderbird. Even though we're a Gmail shop, I mean, you can just use Gmail and all the calendaring stuff. So many people much rather prefer a desktop app to going to a web page, and Thunderbird is the app of choice. Well, Mozilla Project came out, and said, basically, Thunderbird is a tax on our Firefox development, and we can't keep supporting this if we wanted to make Firefox better. And so they're working to spin off Thunderbird and dump it from Mozilla. In other words, Mozilla will no longer be supporting and developing Thunderbird mail app. Now, and this kind of sucks, because as I said, Thunderbird is a really nice app. But this is the great thing about open source software. It's not dead. Okay. If Microsoft were to decide tomorrow that they are not going to make Outlook anymore, they've decided that Outlook is a waste of time, It's a drain on their office development. They said, we're just not going to do Outlook anymore. Everything is web-based. If you're using Exchange, use Outlook Web Access. Or if you're not using Exchange, then you're using something like Outlook.com or Office 365, right? All web-based. We're not going to do Outlook anymore. So we're not going to develop it. If Microsoft were to do that, Outlook disappears. Okay. You've got old versions that might hang around, but there's nothing new to come out, and it's you're out of luck. Okay. If that was really your app of choice, you're pretty well stuck. So the difference is that with open source and with Thunderbird, the code still exists. People can still develop it. And I think this is what Mozilla is going to try to do, is set up a development project to shepherd Thunderbird. Okay. It's not going to be a Mozilla project anymore. They're not going to fund it. They may still have some developers hack on it from time to time, but it's going to happen in their free time, not in their paid time. And who knows, some other corporation may pick it up, or it may live like so many open source projects as a community developed and maintained package. Okay. And there are some very, very nice pieces of software that operate under that model. So unlike something like Outlook, said if Microsoft drops, that's it, it's over, you're out of luck. Thunderbird is going to live on. Okay. The question is how much actual development will it continue to see? Okay. Development will be a little slower because you're not going to have people paid to work on it. But it will progress. Now the thing is, how much progress do you need on a mail client? The mail protocols haven't changed. Okay, while POP3 is more or less deprecated, IMAP 4 has been around for a long time, 15 years, 16 years, something. It's been around for a long time. You're not seeing new revisions of it. So other than potentially making security fixes and thanks to the protocol stack in the client, that's pretty well set. So the question is, how much actual development is needed? What other features are needed? Okay, all of those things are questions that are going to be answered over time and will be answered by the new project. But this is one of my favorite things about open source, is just because a company decides not to maintain it anymore doesn't mean it goes away. Okay. Because, man, I don't know how many times you'll see cool software packages and they're just abandoned by their creators. Sometimes the companies go out of business. Sometimes, okay, they've developed it, they've released it, and they don't worry about it anymore. That was particularly true of games, especially older ones. A company would create a game, and that was it. No more patches, nothing. They just go on with life, and they go on to the next game. And some of those games were really fun. People liked playing them. They wanted to keep playing them. And now they, what do you do? They can't go anywhere. For a corporation, for companies, having a primary app just suddenly disappear from off the face of the internet. This is okay. Version 12 is our last version. We're not going to release anymore. And I don't know what version Thunderbird's on right now. But version 12 is our last version. We're not releasing anymore. Good luck with that. Well, OS is advanced, right? You go from Windows 7 to Windows 8 to Windows 10. Maybe you're on Mac, and that goes for, because Thunderbird is supported across multiple platforms, Linux, OS X, and Windows. Well, you know, suddenly your OS ages, right? Your OS gets new and your app gets old. I mean, this I saw all the time with games, right? I like to call out X-Wing and TIE Fighter because they were so fun, but I couldn't play them anymore. Heck, my wife loves Civilization 2. It won't play under Windows 7. I can't get it to even to install. So, you know, what do we do? Now, this is the great thing about open source is that it can be picked up and development can continue with volunteers. And for something like Thunderbird, it definitely will. Because Thunderbird's a popular enough package, even though it's not getting the, it doesn't have the mind share that Firefox has, or even the necessity of use much as much. It's still going to keep, continue to be developed. Just won't happen under Mozilla. And the fact that it can continue to be developed is a very good thing. It is a very good thing. I said it's what makes open source, I think, really, really great is, you know, a company can come and go and the software can live on. And you're not stuck because the company decided not to make it anymore. Okay. Now, I mean, if you're the only one who still uses it, you better know how to code or you could have other problems. But at least the code is there. You have an option to continue to maintain it. So it sucks in a lot of ways that Mozilla's dumping Thunderbird, but it's going to live on. And, you know, who knows? Maybe being separate from Mozilla and not tied as tightly with Firefox will be a benefit. Could very well be. So good luck to Thunderbird. Hopefully it will continue to succeed. And I think I'm going to go ahead and shut it down here. This has been Music Free Tech episode 45. It's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. And apologies for the technical issues. I'm not sure what's happening here. It might be my computer. I think I'm having hard drive issues. But also check out today's Music Free Gaming, which you see it at musicfreestatic.com or the Music Free Gaming channel, which you can subscribe to. If you go to musicfreestatic.com/gaming or hit the gaming link on the top left, top right, the other left. Hit that. There's a subscribe button right there. Those podcasts, well, I do have an audio only version. Those are best to just watch the video, because those I do with live gameplay. So today's episode of Music for Gaming, I talked to lots of gaming news, lots of cool stuff, while playing Battlefront. And if you just listen to it, you hear my sultry tones. But you also hear lots of explosions and pew 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 as we go blasting our way through stormtroopers or rebels, depending on the game. Which makes a lot more sense when you can see the video and see what's going on. So check that out. Also, I tend to keep playing after the I've run out of content. So stories are done. I'm gonna play for another half hour. That's not as much fun to listen to. You are, of course, welcome to stop the audio at that point and go about your day. But check that out. Also, you may have noticed there was no Music Free Static today. I just did not want to talk about politics. Plus, I had issues with the website. My server totally, completely crapped out. But it gave me an opportunity to build it, rebuild it in such a way that if it dies again, I can just paste a config in, fire up CoreOS. And I can have a new system going in minutes rather than hours, like it took to get it rebuilt. So fun. If you got want more information about how that hat works, drop a comment and I'll let you know. And I will be back again next week. And if you said you want to see more of what I'm doing during the week, head over to Music Free Gaming because I love gaming and I play a lot. So, and jump into the chat rooms. Both during these shows and during the live streams of the games, because I'm happy to chat just about all sorts of stuff. So,